So, Ram, what about this new compound being studied, the so-called third-generation EGFR TKI that was reported in Sydney?
This study was targeting a group of patients who had prior EGFR TK inhibitors, and about 56 patients were enrolled at the time of presentation. But the bottom line is the focus on the group of patients who got the 900 milligram dose twice a day. Remember, this is a phase one study with the wide range of doses. So the real attention, eye-popping number came when we look at those nine patients who got the full dose, 900 milligram twice a day, who had EGFR T790M mutation. Eight out of nine actually had a nice response.
And this is a reversible, irreversible?
It's an irreversible inhibitor. And again, this is too early. We've been here before, but these numbers are quite impressive. And I think only time would tell whether, first of all, we have to know what the right dose is. There's a new formulation.
Well, and
and we
the
have
safety.
To study the safety part of it.
I mean, that was fantastic.
Yeah, no
well,
diarrhea,
that was the
not
thing
much
that
problem.
I was curious about, which is
not very
supposedly
well
it doesn't hit EGFR wild tissue.
It right? does not. It does
so
not.
They don't have rash.
Not, yeah.
And they really
side
don't have diarrhea.
It's very impressive. But
there are other things they have?
Too early. Nothing caught my attention, to be honest with you. Nothing major.
I'm kind of curious.
And I think the one thing you have to remember about the fatinum cetuximab, even though you saw those nice waterfall plots, they don't last very long, the duration of response. So we really have, there's a need for a new class of drugs. Maybe this irreversible inhibitor may be one thing that we should watch very closely.
Well, Greg, of course, afatinib is an irreversible inhibitor and dacomitinib is an irreversible inhibitor, but they clearly do cause EGFR on target effects. Lisa Sequist, she was speculating that maybe it was the lack of toxicity which was allowing the dose to go higher. That was why they're maybe seeing greater activity. What do you think about that?
Well, I think the key thing about these drugs.
Same kind of thing?
Same kind of thing. Both these drugs were not developed against wild-type EGFR. We have to remember back to when people discovered gefitinib and erlotinib. They were working against the premise that epidermal growth factor receptor, EGFR, is overexpressed in cancer. And so we got to target that overexpressed molecule. So let's target wild-type EGFR. So that's how those drugs were developed. They do a good job of hitting that target.
Well, not really.
But wild type. They hit wild type, but does it do what it needs
it
to do?
It does a good job on mutations.
Right. And these drugs were actually developed against mutant forms of EGFR. So they're refined to hit that target much better than wild type EGFR. And that's the key component, not the reversible, irreversible nature, but that these are mutant specific EGFR inhibitors.
But, you know, it sort of seems like dose hasn't been that much of an issue. You know, even the idea that you can use a lower dose with mutants. But is there a reason to think that, for example, if you could go up higher in erlotinib but gefitinib, that you might see greater activity?
We've actually worked a lot in that area of giving higher doses of erlotinib, giving higher doses of erlotinib by itself, giving higher doses of erlotinib in combination with chemotherapy. And there are certain situations in which it makes some sense, maybe targeting brain metastases, but in the main treatment of non-small cell lung cancer with EGFR mutations, you don't get significant benefit by simply giving high dose.